Initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission.
Salutations. Welcome to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
I'm your host, Johnny Reed. My co-pilot, partner in crime.
Troublemaker.
Troublemaker. Instigator.
I am.
Mr. Todd Sheets.
Hey, glad to be here. Glad to be here. We made it another week.
Another week? What, before 2012? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
Or are you just talking about the heat?
Kind of both. Talking about producing a show right before yours that goes 30 minutes over.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that makes you sweat.
A little bit, but, you know, it's all good.
It works out.
It all works out.
Because we're all a family here at Jackalope. Some of us are just dysfunctional.
My brother from another mother.
That's it.
That's it.
What kind of week we got, except for, oh, my goodness, I don't even want to get into it.
Yeah, you know, I believe this is the first time. I mean, everybody that listens to the show, they know I come in and I try to go for that shock factor for Todd. It's like, hey, guess what I heard today? It was bad enough that you actually called me today. And you're like, dude, we got to talk about this before the show. I'm not real happy.
Well, I'm just tired. I mean, the one thing about me is I'm an equal opportunity kind of guy. I was raised to be colorblind in this world, which is very difficult considering our government and our media consistently remind everyone what color everyone is. I mean, when Barack was voted in as president, it wasn't, hey, we got a new awesome president. It was, hey, we got a black president. And I'm tired of that terminology.
Well, real quick here, not to interrupt you, but you know what I think is the saddest part about it? Is that everybody said we had an African-American president, right? But he's half white. Why did they not say, hey, we have a multicultural president?
Yeah.
We have a multi-diverse president.
And he actually is, considering his religious background.
Well, if you consider he was raised, I mean, come on, everybody knows. He was raised over, you know, in basically a Muslim nation.
Right. I mean, for a while, anyway.
For a while. I mean, he was raised for a good part of his life over there. No big deal. I mean, we're not going to get into politics here. But it really did surprise me when everybody's like, we have an African-American president. I'm like, no, you have a multi-culture.
That's right.
And you have an African American slash, you know, Muslim slash. It's not just.
How about this? You have an American president because he can't be African American or he couldn't be president.
Exactly.
You have to be 100% American. That's why Arnie hasn't been the president. Dun, dun.
Well, I thought that
I'll
was just
get somebody later.
I thought that was just because last time we had an Austrian ever get voted in as a president for another country, that didn't turn out too well for him.
Hey, I'm ready. I'll vote for Arnie tomorrow just because he's Arnie.
Really? Didn't we have it? Yeah,
the Terminator.
But yeah, he'll be pulling.
Every time there's trouble, he'll be taking off. I'll be back.
See, I'm still thinking if he's going to be pulling a page out of Clinton's book. Oh, I have an intern.
Speaking of Arnie, yes, speaking of Arnie, Conan the Barbarian came out this week on Blu-ray, and it's gorgeous.
Did you already get it?
Yeah.
Is it just the regular or is it a two-pack with Destroyer?
Well, they have Destroyer also.
But I'm going to have to get those this week then.
I didn't like Destroyer. I thought it kind of was weak, but I loved the original. Yeah, it was watered down.
With the high caliber of actor, Neville Chamberlain and Grace Jones, how could you say that?
Come on, it was so watered down. The violence was like cartoon level. Speaking of, they also have the Conan cartoon.
Only thing great about that entire movie was Bob.
But the first one was a classic. John Milius.
No, the first one was great. I love. I got to tell you, when I saw the second one, I was all excited because I thought the first one was brilliant because it had that edge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, number one, I mean, I was a kid, okay?
Followed the books.
When it came out, I was a kid. So automatically, I mean, I'm not going to be like a perv or anything, but you're all of a sudden going, they have nudity in this.
You know, on top of that, you're kind of going, yeah, you get to see one of your heroes.
Well, and then I'm just saying. And then next thing you know, you're seeing these blood and guts. I mean, as a kid, you're like, wow, this is a pretty dark movie. You know, you had Conan, you know, his whole basically, you know, tribe or however you want to call it, was killed.
Yep.
He was enslaved. His lover got killed. You had James Earl Jones as
rocking
the villain.
Yep.
I mean, and he was dark. I mean, he was going to kill his own daughter. Basically, you know,
it was rock, yeah.
I mean, it was great, and I'm sitting here going, this is a high, you know, very good caliber movie compared to that second one where I was like, it might as well have been animated.
Well, canon took over, that's all you have to say.
But it really should have been animated.
And my thing was, look, the first one, watching it again with all the cool behind the scenes stuff, man, it was evident they really loved the character and they were trying to be true to it.
Oh yeah.
And really, when Arnold's in those battle scenes, it looks like a John Buscema panel from the comic come to life. I mean, he's a little bigger than what John drew him, but the way the eyes,
oh, yeah,
you know, everything looks just like a John Buscema.
I got to tell you, this new one looks great too. I've been seeing the trailers. I think it's going to be good.
I'm torn. I'm tired of CGI. It seems like it's a little CGI heavy for me, and the guy's face, something about him just doesn't hit me as, you know, his body build looks just like the Conan I always
see.
Knew,
I don't mind the face because he's kind of got that kind of ethnic look where he's not.
He looks more Sumerian,
I
guess.
He looks Sumerian,
yeah.
And that's what I like about it.
The eyes are weird.
He's got more of that look. Well, see, I'm a big fan of his because I watch Game of Thrones.
There you go.
And he played he basically played the same character. You know, he played this guy that led a tribe, and he was the greatest warrior. And in the books, the longer your hair is the better you are. Because basically, when you get beaten in a fight, they get to cut your hair off and take it. So this guy's got this braid like almost down to his ankles, you know, and I mean, the guy's bigger than life anyway, because he originally started on Stargate Atlantis.
Right.
And I mean, I got to tell you, I think he can pull it off. He's a good actor.
Well, I'm just
and
hoping.
I saw some interviews with him from Comic-Con, and the guy's really intelligent. I mean,
well,
you know.
Of course.
And I was like, wow, he's got a good sense of humor. And I'm like, I think it's going to be a good movie. Because he said that they made it to be more of a serious. They're trying to be true to the books.
Good.
Very serious. So I'm not going to say it's going to be great. I'm just hopeful.
I'm willing to give it a chance. Hopeful. I don't want to see it in 3D. I just want to see the flat. You know, I'm tired of this 3D thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm over 3D.
I love 3D when it's used
done
like,
right.
When it's a film that was shot that way. But every movie that comes out doesn't have to be processed.
I gotta tell you, after we went to see Thor, I was just, ugh.
It's, yeah.
That burnt me.
That was terrible.
Thor
The fact that the van's driving across the desert popping out at us in 3D, that was weird. It looked like a damn spaceship.
Well, to me, it was just so unclear. It's
the when fight scenes,
when it's to the point that it takes away from the actual, you know, momentum of the movie, you got an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, let's get back to this whole diversity thing. I mean, really.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say is, you know, I was raised in the drive-in where diversity in the 70s was a commonplace. Some of my favorite heroes growing up, Fred Williamson, who I've had the privilege of hanging out with, and I love Fred,
mm-hmm.
Rudy Ray Moore. You know, I got to work with Rudy. We became good friends. Pam Grier. I love Pam Grier. Sid Haig's a good friend.
Well, you've
of
had
mine.
Pam on your own show.
And Sid, both.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's all about, you know, I loved those films, the black art explosion, if it were, you know, of the 70s when cultures were mixing. I listened to funk the whole time I was growing up. I just loved the culture at that time, and I loved the message in, like, Rudy Ray Moore's
movie.
You
cannot beat George Clinton.
Man, I tell you what, there's some good stuff.
I'm a fan of Clinton.
Me too.
I think he does some great stuff.
Well, the thing with Rudy and those movies were, hey, man, you know, they saw a problem in their own neighborhoods. In the urban neighborhoods where drug dealers were in there that were destroying their own people. And like for Dolomite, for example, he had an all-girl army of kung fu hookers that would go in and wipe out the drug dealers. And the drug dealers were black. It wasn't about black on white or white on black. It was about wrong on right, and who's right's going to take out who's wrong.
About cleaning up the neighborhood.
Well, and so here's my thing. I always loved the fact that there were, in the 70s also, we got characters like Blade and the Black Panther and Luke Cage, and there started to be more of an influx, you know, like Apache Chief, and we started to get more diversity. Shang-Chi, we were getting different Asian,
well, you
got to
consider the Justice League. I mean, the Super Friends cartoon.
Right.
They really got into that because that's when they brought, I mean, they were trying with Samurai.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, Apache Chief, El Diablo.
Right.
Black Vulcan. Granted, I was bothered that every time they had an African-American superhero, they always had to have the name Black in front of it.
Well, yeah, sometimes, yeah. But my thing was, look, it's
like, right.
There was a culture of diversity. Now, my thing is, I love the idea of having superheroes that kids in urban neighborhoods can look up to. They need it.
I agree.
But why kill off a superhero that's been established for 50 or 60 or 90 years, even 30 years? Why kill an established character that we love just to put a black person in that place like they've done with Spider-Man? Now, see, to me, that's just over the edge, and they're going to have a black Batman.
Well,
it doesn't
click. Let's be right, though. The new Spider-Man is not black.
Well, he's part black and part Hispanic.
Yeah, part Latino. So let's not – he's kind of a – it's, to me, it sounds very much like, hey, we're going to try to do our own little version of Obama.
You know, well, that's what they were,
you know,
saying
very
is
much that they were trying to get
– his hero is Obama.
Yeah, and they were trying to get a character somewhat like – you know, President Obama.
The kid looks up to that.
The
That's
kid
his
looks
role
up
model.
To him, you know. And plus, and this is, and I'm going to tell you something. I mean, because I've been thinking a lot about this lately because, you know, as you know, I'm not racist. I'm Native American, you know.
Yeah, I'm not either. But every time you and, talk about this thing, people write in, you're a racist or what. But
exactly.
We're not.
But you know, the problem I have with this, and I'm going to be honest, you know, let's take a minute to be real serious because, and it kind of goes along with the comic industry, okay.
The PC movement.
Well, it's not just so much the PC movement, because I really been thinking about this. And it's kind of funny, because Alan Moore was interviewed on Newsarama recently, and I was really, really kind of surprised by his views are so similar to mine. And it's really funny when you sit there and you're reading your comics, and you're reading them, and once again, they're doing a reboot. Okay, now we're going to do Final Crisis. And you've heard me talk about this before.
We've grabbed quite a bit.
I mean, we've beat the dead dog over this one. But the thing that really gets me is really your demographic is usually somewhere around 30 and 50-year-olds. That's who's buying the majority of your comics
nowadays.
Right. Nowadays. And you have these comic companies sitting there going, we got to get these younger readers. We got to get these younger readers. We got to get these younger readers.
So let's urbanize it like everything else.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, this is kind of a two-part thing. The first thing is they're always trying to touch these younger readers, okay? So what they do is they go, well, when I was this age, which number one is your first mistake. Kids today are nowhere to where we were as kids.
Unfortunately.
I mean, unfortunately. But I mean, I remember I was a kid. I was playing in the woods, building forts.
I was having a great time, you know? I wasn't a short attention span fool.
Yeah, I mean, half the kids today are on video games. What I mean, my own kids, you know,
they're all walking around with their pants around their ass, and they've got the gun wannabe.
Well, you
attitude,
do, but I'm just saying, you can't sit there and say, and what they're trying to do is like, let's keep recapturing and rebooting. Let's keep recapturing and rebooting these guys, and we're trying to make them like what they were when we were kids. Well, you got a really bad circle going on, because the whole idea is they're trying to get the younger readers. Well, then I sit down and
then they lose them, right?
And yeah, because the biggest problem I have is I have these younger readers coming in to my store, you know, and you know they're coming to the Brute Squad and they're like, hey, you know, I'm really interested in this comic. What's going on with the Flashpoint? Well, I have to tell them about the Flashpoint. Then I got to tell them about Crisis. And then we go into the Blackest Night that's kind of led to it. And then they're like, well, why are they doing a reboot? And this and this and this.
My
and
son's by the giving time, up. And yeah. He's 18 now.
Yeah.
He's done.
And by the time I explain all this to them, they're like, well, what's going on with Marvel? You know, and it's kind
of. And now Marvel's doing it. So now they're going, oh.
And it's really one of these things where, you know, these guys keep saying they want to start fresh, reboot, which I give them credit, like DC credit for. But my thought process is create something new. Instead of just trying to repackage it up and put it back out.
Well, I have to tell you, right there, you hit something. Because, see, to me, it's almost a slap in the face to black people that they think a black person can't be a superhero unless they kill off a white person and put them in their spot.
Well, okay, and exactly. And I got a couple things, you know. Here we go. A perfect example that my biggest problem with the comic industry is number one, they've tried this before, okay? back, was it a few years ago, they killed off the Atom, replaced with Ryan Chow, which was, you know, Asian. They killed off Blue Beetle, replaced him, you know, with Hector.
Firestorm.
Firestorm, that's the next one, but he's Latino. Right. Hector being Blue Beetle.
Right, right.
Then they have Jason, which was replacing Ronnie as Firestorm.
Right.
You know, and they write these comics.
John Stewart, they brought him in.
Well, John Stewart, he's in a different category.
Right, he's
category.
In a different area.
He's been around for a while.
They brought him in, though, because they needed an African-American character.
Right, but that was
luckily
back,
it worked.
That was years ago. I'm just talking about this one time.
Okay.
And they rebooted all these guys at the same time, killed them all off, and it was right after Final Crisis, because
gotcha.
They said they need more diversity. John Stewart was brought in way before
Yeah, a long
that.
Time ago, yeah.
But the problem is they rebooted all these titles. Almost none of these titles lasted over 2 years.
Of course not.
Very few of one. And I'm sitting here going, you know what? I don't think it's diversity. You know, because if Adam can survive, you know, why is it when you kill him off, you bring in a new character, and it's not selling?
And how come they always have to make the black characters like urban characters who live in the ghetto or something?
Exactly.
Not every black person's from the ghetto.
Yeah. Well, here you go. Let's think of Tom McFarlane. Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Spawn.
What a great thing.
I mean, he brought in a character, Spawn. There is no doubt that was the biggest character,
indie,
had a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, out of nowhere, he came from, they built an independent comic company, said, I'm going to kind of do a cross between Spider-Man and horror and Batman. And you know what? He's an African-American character.
That's right, and he's awesome.
And you know what? And he's awesome. And he was something fresh. He was created from nothing.
They didn't
it
kill off a
like,
character or a
yeah,
history.
Yeah, exactly. You know, John Stewart, they had him as replacing Green Lantern.
Right.
You know, because he's a core. You can have replacements. I mean,
well, the core, it makes sense.
It made perfect sense. I mean, let's think about it.
They didn't kill somebody to
they
put him in
They didn't kill
there.
Him. Marvel, they had a whole problem with Tony Stark couldn't be Iron Man. He was an alcoholic. They brought in James Rhodes to replace him.
That's right.
And he kind of little by little merged into War Machine.
That's right.
And War Machine is a big part of DC. I mean, Marvel.
Right.
Because think of how these great characters, I mean, think about it really. War Machine showed up on screen in Iron Man before Captain America did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, James Rhodes, an actor, Rhodey,
yep.
was on the big screen before Cap was.
Well, everyone loves that character. And Blade. Let's look at Blade.
I mean, Blade has been around in the movies for a while. I mean,
he's been in the book since Tomb of Dracula.
Exactly. But, you know, that's a character that didn't kill anybody off. They created someone new. Now, I will give DC some credit on one point. They are pushing Cyborg up to the forefront.
Now, he's part black and part machine.
Well, great. He's diversified Cyborg.
That's right.
But
he's the ultimate diversion.
Yes. But I got to say, what I like about him is they are pushing him to the forefront. They're not killing anybody off. They're just giving him, basically, for lack of a better term, more screen time.
Right.
I think that's great. If you want to take a character and push him out there, you do that with a lot of characters. You know, Hal.
Give him a minute, yeah.
Hal was dead. And all of a sudden, let's bring him back and really push him down everybody's throats. And now, guess what? We got a Green Lantern movie.
I agree.
And that is where I think, instead of repackaging these guys, instead of killing them off, here's a clue, guys. You're getting paid how much money? You are professional comic writers.
Get a clue.
Why don't you create something? You know, in my opinion, these writers are becoming rappers.
Well, you know who
they
created...
They can't write their own music. They're going to have to sample everything
That's
out
right.
there.
That's right.
You know, all you're doing is taking an old character, let's kill off Spider-Man, let's bring in... And the thing that gets me is every time they talk about it, like even Bendis did he's been doing, you know, interviews all week. Go on the net, it's all over. And he's like, well, I don't want to say that we're doing this just so he's a diverse character. If you made that statement, yes, you are.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, you are. Don't,
we know,
don't
we know
lie to me.
It's a politically
don't,
correct bunch of shit.
Exactly.
Oh, I cussed.
That was you.
I beeped it. I'm gonna have to beep it.
You're going to have to beep it.
Damn it. I didn't mean to, but it is frustrating.
But to me, it's one of those, and then now we have this big reboot where, and my problem is if they would gotten their heads out of their ears and they would have actually said, let's create some new things. I mean, we're DC Comics. They have a multiverse. They could have their own ultimate, for lack of a better term, universe and have it be one of the 52s. Do you have to rewrite the one you have? No. Our sales are down. We need to bring in new readers. Well, you know what?
You're going to lose a lot.
What do they say? try the same thing over and over and over and expect different results.
You're an idiot.
Well, it's a sign of insanity.
It is.
And they keep trying to repackage DC, repackage it. Let's repackage it again. And, you know, why don't you create something?
And yet, look at this.
What is wrong with recreating it?
The most popular online game of all time, DC Universe, is playing upon a history that they're erasing.
Yes.
And so it's like a lot of people are saying, well, at least we still got the game, you know, because this history is going to be gone soon. But that's the point. You know, all these shows, all these cartoons, all these years of television, all these years of movies, all these books, these novels, these graphic novels, these comic books.
And they wanted to make it easier for kids. And I'm like, you know what? You're making it harder when you keep rewriting history because then they want to know things.
Let me ask you a question. When I got into horror movies as a little kid, I went and saw Night of the Living Dead. I was 3 years old at the drive-in, okay? I went nuts over horror movies.
Your parents need to work.
Boy Who Cried Werewolf, you know what I'm saying? Texas Chainsaw. I was raised on children shouldn't play with dead things, stuff like that. But...
No,
how come I knew who the Wolfman was and Creature from the Black Lagoon? Those were my favorites, right? Because I watched them, because I did some research, because I'm not an idiot, and I know how to pick up a book and look, hey, I like werewolves. Let me see how many movies there are with those. Same thing with comic books.
I agree, because you know what? I remember book fairs.
Oh, yeah, those were
going
great.
Going around in school. And I remember Universal, you might remember this. Universal
Monsters.
They did a book on it. And it was talking about all the classic Universal monsters. And my mom was like, oh, I'm not going to buy you that. You're going to have nightmares. And I'm like... No, I won't. I want that book. And I read it, and I liked it. You know, I remember the cover had Wolfman down here, and it had Frankenstein up here, but it had stuff on Bela Lugosi, Chaney. I mean, yes, I read comics, but I got to tell you, I have been living and breathing horror from day one.
Of course.
I love horror, especially the classics. I'm a big fan. I mean, when you want to talk toys, I got every single Sideshow.
The fact it's that crazy. Tyler Perry's on Blu-ray, but none of the Universal Classics are, is another crime in this country.
That's a sidebar for another day. But you know what? You're right, though. Because as a kid, you give those kids credit. They want to know, where did these come from? What is the history?
Well, and that's the same it was as Batman. You and I started in Batman in the 70s. We didn't immediately know Adam what West. Bob Kane had done.
No,
you know?
I knew Adam West.
I knew Adam West, too, and then I saw the comics. I started reading those. I was like 4 years old reading comics. And you know what? I found out by going, hey, I'm going to go to the comic book store, or I'm going to go here or there, and I'd find older comics, and I'd start reading those. And then I got the originals with way back when Bob Kane was drawing in them. I got the books that collected all the early ones, because that's what kids do. If you love something, now I don't know about kids today because everything's so handed, but that was part of the excitement of finding a character or finding a movie franchise or finding something you loved, is every new piece of information was like a treasure chest you got to open.
Yes.
You know? That was something we
loved
doing.
Well, that's what I think is great now, because I'll sit there and be reading about a character. I love, you know, Wikipedia. You jump online and
I won't say much about Wikipedia, Johnny. Anyone with one thumb and one finger can type anything they want on
Wikipedia. Well, no, I agree. But, you know, when you go out there and you do history of superheroes, they pretty much got some good, stuff out there.
Well, that's because the superhero fans wouldn't put up with any crap.
Well, granted, but that's what I'm saying is, like, they'll give you your list of comics. You can go out there and see your list of who's in Arkham.
That's right.
I mean, it's fun playing around to see the history. I mean, Wikipedia's got some great stuff out there just for the point of... Captain Marvel versus Superman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's really great to hear that, read that history out there, how DC kind of, you know, slept, and the name Captain Marvel got basically bought by Marvel right underneath it.
Right.
But to me, it's the point of going out and reading.
Finding stuff out.
And these guys aren't realizing that, hey, you're going to get on a comic, and the most person isn't looking towards the future in comics. They are, but you know what? I got another month till that comic comes out. I'm going to go get the back issues.
Well, plus, what happens when the kid gets the comic, loves it, and then tries to go find back issues that are completely contradictory to what's going on? Makes no sense. Hold on.
That's what's
going to
happen.
How's Batgirl over here, but she's in a wheelchair over there? What's going on?
Yeah.
It ain't going to make any sense. It's just they don't realize their own
catch-22
here.
And, well, see, not only that, it goes a step further. Dan DiDio himself, years ago, said that they will never let her walk again. But to me, and now he's saying they walk. And to me, it's really kind of an influence of what can we trust that you're those big taglines, you know, things will never be the same again. Well, you know what? It's becoming like wrestling.
It's worse.
I mean, but to a point, because, you know, your readers aren't trusting you anymore.
Hell, I quit doing that when they broke Batman's back, even though I have to admit, in the end,
they did a good job on that storyline.
Good.
That was probably one of the last really great
Batman
stories.
But it broke
Batman
my heart when it happened. It broke my heart when it happened.
Well, at least they didn't kill him off and try to have him transferred to through time and everything else.
Don't get me started, man. You do not. There's some things you don't do.
I know.
Right in the other room, Dr. D has the Doomsday where Superman was killed. He's got the black armband.
Yeah, I have that. That's awesome. I have that.
Death certificate and all that.
It was sweet.
That's crazy.
But you know what, guys? I think it's about that time we wrap it up to our break.
Yep.
We'll be back here in about 5, so please stay tuned. Once again, thank you for listening to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
Well, I can't say the name, no, my brother.
Dark in the city, night is a wire. Steam in the subway, earth is a fire. Woman, you want me, give me a sign. And catch my breathing even closer behind. Do 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 do.
Ahoy.
In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. Smell like a sound, I'm lost in a crowd, and I'm hungry like the wolf.
Attention all personnel.
You got it.
You got it. You found the most listened to radio station.
Jackalope Radio.
Keep yourself alive.
Come on.
Keep yourself alive.
Come on.
Keep yourself alive.
Keep yourself alive.
Come on.
you wanted more variety.
All types of music. I love the music.
With less commercials, and we delivered.
Jackalope Radio.
Welcome once again to the Brood Squad.
Brood Squad!
We're back.
We're back in action. I was going to say before we left, I had to give credit to Marv Wolfman for creating Blade in the Tomb of Dracula series, because that's a character, you know, we're talking about the story arcs and evolution. Yeah. They reinvented Blade several times, and every time I've really liked it. So I'm really excited about that character, and they didn't do it because they were told to by the NAACP. They did it because they wanted to.
Right.
Same with Luke Cage, Power Man. I mean, he was awesome. They didn't even make a deal out of what color he was. They just thought he was awesome.
Well, it was cool. He just fit with, you know, Power Man. Iron Fist.
Man, Iron Fist, Shang-Chi, they didn't do it because they needed diversity, or they were told you have to have other ethnicities. They did it because they just wanted to. It was more realistic.
Yeah.
The 70s were a time like that, when there was like a big hodgepodge of people everywhere, and everyone was mixing cultures, and that's when you had the supergroups.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were talking about Parliament Funkadelic, George Clinton, and all these supergroups.
Oh, yeah.
You would see those funk bands, right? These huge 15-member bands.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They'd have freaking two drummers, a white guy, a black guy, a Hispanic guy. They didn't care what color you were. Uh-huh. They just had freaking good times. That's why I'm hoping we can get away from all this. And you know what? I don't give a damn. I once said as a kid, I wish everyone was just purple, Mom. And I'm glad they're not, because then everyone looked like kind of a screwed-up Smurf. But at the same time, it sure would have been nice, because I got tired. You know, raised in a way that you go to the drive-ins. Man, the drive-ins in the 70s were a hodgepodge of everybody. Speaking of Native Americans, there was always this carload with like five kids. And I loved them because my mom's Native American. See, she's part Italian, part Native American. My dad's full Italian. So it was a crazy mix growing up with my temper, right?
Right.
But we had such a great time, because these kids and I would hang out and play together. And they would bring me crazy things that their grandma made with beads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was a cool thing. And then we'd be hanging out at the park with these kids with the largest afros you ever saw. We never stopped and thought, oh, my friend's black. We just thought, hey, that's a cool kid. Let's hang out with him. We never cared. And I wish it would, in a way, it's not.
The same way. I grew up out by Troost.
Yeah, so, you know, well, I'm sorry. Know. It's a wonder you're still alive.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that and war zone, okay? Troost is a war zone, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's where I grew up, out there by, you know, off
Jackson. Of course,
Jackson.
It wasn't as bad then, but now you can't even drive down there at night.
But yeah, but you know,
crackheads on the hood of your car.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, back then, I mean, you're just kids are kids.
Yep, back then.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that I wish. I mean, I think the saddest part of our society is like when you start embracing adulthood.
In the media and everything. Politics.
And then at that point, you know, you start facing that reality, and it's like, especially the media, it's like, man, just get off of it, you know?
The NAACP does more harm than good. I mean, they're every time you turn around. And the thing is, they were first there to help all people, but now it even pretty much says it. You go to their website, and it's pretty much, okay, we're here only to help black people. We're supposed to help all people, but we're here only to help
black people. Well, that's kind of like, you know, I won't watch any music award shows anymore.
Oh, it's dumb.
I won't. Well, the reason I won't is that you have best. Now, the last time I watched one, it was several years ago, you had your best artist, your best, you know, female artist, your best male artist, right? Anybody can run for those. But then you have your best Latino. You have your best Native American, even.
Why not just...
Wait. You have your best black artist, right? Which they can go for the best regular artist. But you can't have your best Caucasian artist, because then that would be racist.
It's all weird, yeah.
I mean, I don't understand that. I'm like, what does it matter? You're an artist. You're a singer.
Who cares what color you are? Just sing.
I can understand the male or female, but really, does it matter to have 12 different...
Hey, man, what happens if it's a female transsexual artist that can sing both?
Leave Boy George out of this.
You know what we really need to do? We need to talk about one thing real quick. Headbangers Ball, they're bringing it back. They made a big deal, MTV2. You want to know where they're bringing it back? Online only, so you can watch it on a 3-inch screen. And to me, that was a slap in the face of metalheads everywhere. And you want to know why it's a slap in the face? So MTV2 can show every piece of trash reality dirtbag show possible, and hip-hop and R&B and rap over and over, but they don't have room for a metal show. That's kind of like, let's hide this show away. People want it, so we're going to give it to them, but we really don't want to touch it. It's like they treat us like we're total assholes just because we like metal. And you know what? I think that's BS. If you can't put it on your channel, then don't do it at all. Because to me, I don't like watching things on a 3-inch screen. I don't want to watch it on my damn iPhone. I don't want to watch it on the computer. I want to sit in front of my damn big screen TV and watch it. And if I can't, to hell with you, I'll just watch VH1 Classics where they have metal every night.
Right.
Metal Mania, baby. And you know what? They show more metal videos there than Headbangers Ball ever did.
Oh,
Headbangers Ball was Pretty Boy Floyd, Cinderella, Motley Crue, and Poison. That to me wasn't metal. I'd have to sit there for 2 full hours to see one King Diamond, maybe, every couple of weeks. Maybe Iron Maiden every 3 weeks. You'd never have a Megadeth, Peace Sells But Who's Buying, they played it every week. I don't know why. But then the rest of it was like Faster Pussycat. I was like, I don't want to see this hair crap. It's not metal. Of course, I can't say much because, yeah, a lot of my friends were in hair bands, but I wasn't. I didn't want to listen to Slayer.
Easy.
I know, I'm being nice.
Easy.
I wasn't insinuating
Then again,
anything.
As you know, most of my bands I've been in is pretty heavy anyway.
Well, they were later, but the early days, I won't talk about those days.
I wasn't really in a lot of hair bands in my early days.
You were in like two, weren't you?
I was in one, and that was it.
I thought you were in
two. And it was a joke. I was in a band called Foreplay, of all things.
Well, there you go.
And the whole, it was a joke.
What was going on with you during the Nasty Nasty era and all those guys?
Kenworthy and
Leather
Anderson
Toys
and
all those guys?
Actually, I was playing hockey mostly during those days.
I got you. See, you saved yourself just
those
now.
Those were the days I was doing hockey, because I kind of stepped out of playing drums until I broke my ankle and got out of hockey.
Well, you couldn't even go to like a club to see a band because the hairspray would knock you out the door.
That's true.
Wonder there weren't fires all over town.
No, I really didn't get started really playing seriously like in the bands like until like 90, 91.
Oh, I got you.
So I was kind of already out of that. I started really getting serious when grunge came in.
I remember
in.
You were playing drums, though, when you were younger because you were playing.
I was playing and all, but I just wasn't doing anything serious. I wasn't doing any clubbing.
I got you.
So it was about 89, 90 when I started playing like serious, like hitting the clubs and stuff.
Gotcha. So you missed some of that evil.
Yeah.
Yes,
I was in bands, but it was like the band. We'd, you know, do the whole let's jam in the garage, and then the guitarist would freak out with an ego or something, and then
someone had,
and
like
nobody would ever go anywhere.
Away.
Yeah,
one of them had become a drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone, we're a superstar, man. We sang in front of our girlfriend in the bar.
Yeah,
there was 12 people there, and I'm a freaking star, man.
Yeah, I hate those days.
Yeah, me too.
Hated
them. But I had to make fun.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know what? I got to let you get to the comics. My God, we're running out of time. What's going on this week?
Well, do we even want to go there?
I'm afraid, but you know, that's what the show's about. You got to talk about the comics. Hell, what are you doing over there? He's on the damn internet, folks. He's cruising around. I don't know what he's doing. He's on the bat computer, which is the only saving grace here.
The only saving grace. No, I was just, it's just one of those things, you know. Of course, you know, killing off Spider-Man, bringing in the new one.
It's depressing, and
it's the same thing like when, you know, they announced, you know, the new Perry White for the new movie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne.
One of my favorite actors, yeah.
You know what's bad, though? I really liked... I can't remember the actor's name, but that was the Perry White in Superman Returns.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, I thought he did a great job. I mean, I just...
Diversity, man. Pretty soon it's going to be... You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have no choice. But the problem is every time they say diversity, it always ends up being black. There's not much diversity. It's either black or white. I mean, every once in a while they'll throw us a bone and give us a Hispanic or an Asian guy. But you know what's really irritating? I feel like the Asians always get the worst end of the stick. Everyone's afraid of the Asians, I think, because they know that secretly they could probably take over the world tomorrow if they wanted.
Well, China is pretty good size.
Well, not just that. It's the fact that without them, we wouldn't have any technology. We wouldn't even be doing this show right now, you know?
Oh, it's true.
All right, man. Comic books. What we got?
Junk.
Hey, I'm looking at something. What's that? What's that there?
Batman Dark Knight of Vengeance. It's basically, it's the Flashpoint title. And the biggest thing on this was Bruce died as a child. His dad became Batman. I mean, it's an Elseworld title.
Right,
I don't mind
right.
That.
It's weird.
I don't mind it's an Elseworld title. It's just I don't like the crap coming after it. But the big reveal last issue and what kind of came from this is the Joker is actually Martha.
Weird.
She wasn't killed, but when Bruce was killed by what Joe... I can't remember his name now. Joe Cool or whatever his name was, the guy that killed, you know, his parents originally. She actually went nuts and started killing everyone else.
Well, there you go.
And I mean, and now she's like the Joker. She slits her own throat and Joe Chill. Thank you. I said cool, but Joe Chill.
Oh, Joe Chill.
Yeah. But now, so the big thing is not only is he having to deal with his son's death, he's got to deal with the fact that his wife's the Joker. Yeah, didn't really get into that one. It's just
that's weird.
You know, the comic I'm digging right now is Batman Arkham City. It's pretty much based on the video game. It's a limited series, but the freaking artwork is awesome. And you know what? Batman looks like Batman, and surprisingly enough, Catwoman looks like Catwoman, and Joker's psychotic and crazy.
No way.
I mean, it's a good book. I mean, Arkham City, it's on issue 4. Issue 5 is coming out next month. One I highly recommend in trade. The last issue of Superman, I think, is kind of a disgrace. It kind of has this flashback, you know. And it just, the whole end of it, you know, is him being with Lois, saying that not even death could keep them apart. And how they always find each other, and how he battles for truth and justice in the American way. And I just think that's sad that they're going to end it like that, just to reboot it where everything's all junk. Superman's going to be an alien. His parents are going to be dead. Lois is dating somebody else. It's like, it's not, I mean,
the whole place has gone crazy.
My problem is that's not Superman. That is not Superman. If you want a history like that and you want to kill off parents and you want a more of an alien character, I mean, come on, you freaking putzes. Just create one. Let's not remarket what you already have. You have, I mean, I'm sorry, kids are kids. They're going to watch the old Christopher Reeve stuff on TV. They're even going to watch this new Brandon Routh, you know, Superman.
I liked him.
Oh, I liked him. But it's one of those things, you know, kids know who Superman is. They sit there and say, people all over the world know who Superman is. And they all know his story. They all know Ma and Pa Kent. It's like, come on, guys. Instead of just redoing their history, create a new character. Get off your lazy ass and create a new freaking character. You know, Deathstroke. I'm not even going to talk about that one. That just... Adventure Comics came out. I got to say, I really dug Adventure Comics. I've been liking it a lot. Paul Levitz, who, as everyone knows, was, you know, president of DC Comics for a while. Then he got replaced by the lady who did all the Harry Potter movies and produced all those. And I got to tell you, I'm really liking them. I like the characters. They've added a few new characters. They kind of re-spoofed up the costumes. I really like it. And it's just sad that all of a sudden now with this reboot, you're going to get new artists, new people. And this comic has only been going on, not even 12 issues. It's like you already just rebooted it and we can't even get through it. Superboy. I mean, really? We're on issue 10. You know, you set up this whole triangle with him and his friends, and he's kind of infatuated at first with Lex Luthor's niece. When then you find out that, wait a minute, Lex is his DNA, so it's kind of almost his niece. Because as we know, the new Superboy is half Superman, half Lex.
Jeez.
Well, he is. He was cloned back with, you know, the death of Superman. He was a clone. Lex Luthor spliced in some of his own DNA because he wanted to try to take control of him. I think that's a great storyline, really. I mean, you got a superhero now that's basically fighting half. I mean, he could put a name on his dark half. He can say, half of me is Lex. I dig that storyline. They even had it in Smallville, you know? And then I look in the previews and it looks like Superboy's like, well, number one, they have two. One that looks all half cybernetic and one in Teen Titans that looks like he's been in a rave. But let's talk about the comic of the week. I'm going to start this out from now on, guys. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a heads up on comics that are coming out. I'll give you guys, but I'm going to start spotlighting my favorite comic of the week. And my favorite comic of the week is The Secret Six. Basically, Bane has this idea that, you know what? I'm not as great as I was because Batman beat me. So I want to take out Batman. He wants, and not only that, he goes, the way to take out Batman is Bane. Bane, we know Bane's smart. And we know that he's always trying to outthink everyone. So his idea is, we're going to hurt those closest to him this time. I'm going to take out Red Robin. I'm going to take out Batgirl. We're going to take out Huntress. We're going to take out, you know, Catwoman.
And enjoy it while you can, because this will all disappear in a couple months.
Well, granted, but we're going to focus just on the comic itself. Because I got to tell you, this has been one of my favorite rides in DC for a lot of years.
Let me see that cover, man.
They made it up to issue 36.
Oh, that's sweet.
And it's Gail Simone, man. I love her writing, and she's been doing great stuff. Nice. And it's kind of funny because Catman's kind of got a thing for Huntress. So him and Bane kind of get into it. It's like, hey, you're not going to do this. Well, basically, they try to get some intel on the characters. So what do? They actually go to the Penguin. They figure, hey, the Penguin's kind of a crook. You know, he's got all this money. We'll bribe him or threaten him.
That'll be good.
And they want to get the intel on how to take these guys out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Penguin turns on them.
Naturally.
So he winds up calling Birds of Prey, and they wind up calling half of the DC Universe. So here they are in this warehouse, and who shows up? The Birds of Prey, Booster Gold, the Teen Titans, you know, because Red Robin's there with the Teen Titans, Huntress is there with the Birds of Prey, the JSA is all there. And Bane's sitting here going, well, this isn't working out as well as we planned. And they're like, oh no, we got a chance, we can take these guys out, we got a good chance. Well, then all of a sudden, here comes Batman. And Batman shows up with, like, you know, Batman and Robin, Dick, John Stewart, Captain Atom, Donna Troy. So you got the whole Justice League there now. So now you got the Justice League, the Teen Titans, JSA, the Birds of Prey, all surrounding just the six Secret Six. Well, they're sitting there going, hey, we're going to go out with a bang. We can do this. And then Deadshot turns around and goes, dude, you know how we were already screwed? We're even screwed worse, because all of a sudden here comes Supergirl, Red Tornado, Superman, Superboy. I mean, all the other super family, you know, for lack of a better term. And they're like, what the heck? And I think this is great because Gail, you know, Simone knows that this is the last issue. You know, she knows that they're going to have this reboot. So she wants to go out with a bang. Right. So what do? The Secret Six, Bane turns around and hands each one of the members a vial of venom.
Oh, man.
So they all get doped up on venom and attack the entire DC universe of superheroes, the six of them. They all know they're going to die. They all know they're going to lose. But it's one of those, it's that very Young Guns, you know, blaze of glory at the very end. We're going to go out with style. And of course, yeah, they get totally annihilated by, you know, Superman, Batman, and all of them. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, I like the way that they're villains. You know, at some point they're going to get caught. They always do. But the fact that they didn't run, they didn't hide, it was great. It was a great ending to a great title. And I'm sad to see it go. It's sad that with the new reboot universe that you got, who knows what's going on with Bane. Deadshot, I know, is showing up in this new Suicide Squad with, you know, Harley Quinn, which more looks like, you know, a fetish stripper Harley Quinn. But, you know, great comic this week. I really liked it. Guys, go out, get it. Flashpoint number 4 came out. This is going to be the last comic I'm really going to review tonight because, I mean, right off the bat, I mean, you're killing off Hal Jordan. They kill him off. He's going to go drop a bomb on Themyscira, or the new Themyscira. For those of you who do not know, Captain Marvel isn't just one person. It's like seven kids. And each one has the power of that god. And when they say Shazam together, that's what forms, you know, Captain Marvel. And Captain Marvel's in like three panels. I mean, literally, he's in three panels of this comic. And then this Enchantress throws a spell down that separates all seven kids. And right off the bat, they kill Billy Batson. It's like the big thing is Captain Marvel. You got him in three freaking panels. You know, I think the problem I have with this is this whole Flashpoint is, number one, besides the point that it doesn't really matter, is that we're on issue 4. And most of the things that are really that's any interest to this comic has been happening in miniseries. Which, number one, DC's like, oh no, you can still get the basic part of the story by just reading the miniseries. But no, you really can't, number one. A lot of times you need those other miniseries to really get a good understanding of what's going on. But basically, what this whole thing has really just been a big war between Wonder Woman and Aquaman. I thought there'd be a little bit more depth, but I mean, it's just over and over again, let's retell how they're upset with each other, how they're mad with each other. You know, she's killed him, he's killed her, and it's very disappointing. I'm not I wasn't pleased with it. And don't get me wrong, I got all the Flashpoint titles. I got roped in. I bought them. And I it was very disappointing. I mean, I don't know exactly how it's ending. It's only on issue 4, but I mean, no matter how it ends, it's a rebooted universe anyway, so we know how it ends. Which is the saddest part about the merchandising with this DC. I mean, really? You're going to tell everybody we're going to reboot, but then who cares how it ends? No, I mean, you lose all your drama with it. You lose all the excitement, which I know they got to know because people's got to do their, got to put their orders in. I mean, you know, I got to order these comics 2 months in advance, just like all the other stores, but it takes away from it.
I agree.
And it's just disappointing. I mean, it's just very, very disappointing.
Man, that's one of the things I could tell it's kind of a painful thing because, you know, we've talked about it more than a lot of other people do, but it is one of those things where it's almost like, you know, you're enjoying some of this and you don't want to enjoy it because it's going to end up being gone. And it's almost like someone's telling you ahead of time, hey, your best friend's moving away in September. Yeah. Now, we know they're coming back because this can't possibly work. It's just the fact that it's going to be really difficult because you look forward every week like it's Christmas. I know you. Every Wednesday, yeah, it's Christmas for Johnny. And that's kind of taken away
I can tell you the truth. My pull list for DC was cut probably easily in half, if not more, with my pull list.
I can understand
that. I mean, it really is. Do you know what? On a funny side, Marvel cracks me up. Marvel Comics is funny. Everybody's upset about this Flashpoint not mattering, right? So listen to this. This is a press release from David Gabriel.
Okay.
He's Marvel Senior Vice President of Publishing, Sales, and Circulation. In these tough economic times, we feel it's our duty to help. Number one with that statement, I got to tell anybody that's seen the movie Mr. Mom. It sounds like the whole Bumblebee tune at the end. It cracks me up. But look, it says, after the overwhelming positive response to our Comic for Comic program, through which we received tons and thousands of covers, we are excited to provide retailers with a chance to help their stores through selling the ultra-rare variant. For those of you who do not know, you know, basically back in a few months ago, with the whole Blackest Night, DC had this whole thing, if you order a certain amount, we're going to give you certain color rings for your store.
Right.
So if you wanted to get those rings for your customers, because Lord knows I had plenty of them coming in and each one wanted a ring, you had to buy a certain amount of books. You couldn't say, hey, I just want to buy the rings for my customers. No, you got to buy those books.
But so, yeah, they sold them to Hastings, which made no sense. Remember that? Hastings had hundreds of them up there.
But
jerks.
Yeah, but that's the corporate side of things. But what I think is funny is Marvel at the time said, hey, you know what? Rip off those covers, which, of course, the comic's no good then. They're basically, you know, destroying a DC competition. And we're going to send you a variant of Daredevil. Well, they're doing it again. If you send in 50 covers of Flashpoint, and you have to understand there's 19 miniseries with 3 issues each. So just one set alone will get you a variant if you hate it that much. And they're going to send everyone a free special variant of Fear Itself number 6, illustrated by Ed McGuinness.
That's funny. So see, there is light at the end of the tunnel, everybody. Listen.
On top of that, qualifying retailers will also have access to a special unspecified Marvel sale.
Don't worry, Johnny.
Be happy. Yeah. But I mean, I just think it's funny, though, honestly, that Marvel is going to sit there. And I mean, they're actually kind of like, I was all about DC, and I'm like, you know, Marvel, that's kind of funny.
It's kind of evil.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, yeah, you got to stop that now. No Bobby McFerrin or whatever.
It's about the end of the show.
Is it really? How much time we got?
About 30 seconds.
About 30 seconds. Nice. Tonight's really going by quick.
It's rocking.
I had a good time tonight.
Me too, man.
But
and we are going to get to Josh. Josh, we are going to get to your letter next time.
Josh's letter.
Yeah, he sent us a letter, so I'm going to get it on the air next time. I
didn't get it.
I know. Well, we've got it somewhere. Okay, we're going to get it on the air.
Okay, we'll do it on the air. And once again, guys, remember, go out to Facebook, go out to Brute Squad Entertainment, and just hook us up. Give us some questions. We got some people out there. One of the things about, you know, Comic of the Week is coming from a fan request. They wanted a little bit more detail for comics.
And also, there's forums, guys. JackalopeRadio.com. Click on the forums. Johnny will be on there soon. He's going to be interactive with everyone. You can talk to him right there.
Yeah, I will be doing that probably next week.
Very
good. Get all over it. But, you know, we want to thank everyone. We do love our, you know, everybody that listens in, everybody that tunes in, you know, all the regulars, you know, that come into the shop and we kind of talk about this stuff kind of early. We just appreciate all you guys, you know. And thank you very much for tuning in, Todd, as always.
I'm here.
My brother in crime.
That's right.
Guys, we'll talk to you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel on the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!